tell us a bit about your background.
My background. Well, I've been at F. Barnes Solicitors now for many years, over 25 years, and during that period I've been specialising in family law, and that's really the breakdown of relationships. I've seen quite a few changes over the last 25 years. The main reason I'm here today really is to talk about what we call is Divorce Monday, is that when we have a peak in people in contacting solicitors to ask about divorce proceedings. It's very stressful over the Christmas period, and that coupled with New Year's resolutions, we find that people can't take it anymore, and we have an upsurge in people contacting solicitors and deciding that they want to come out of that relationship.
And Divorce Day is basically a reflection of that.
Yeah, it's Monday. It's normally the first Monday after the children go back to school.
Yeah.
New Year's resolutions and people really looking at going forward. A lot of people think divorce is, I think it's quick and easy. It's not quick and easy.
No, I'm there myself. It's certainly not quick and easy.
And people often ask me about a quickie divorce. There isn't such a thing as a quickie divorce. Divorce proceedings do take some time to deal with, and they unfortunately now take longer than ever because of government cutbacks. We're all now based in a central East Anglia court, so all divorce proceedings have to go to Bury.
Oh, right,
okay. And we call it a bit of a black hole, I'm afraid, because we used to say divorce proceedings would take 5 to 6 months, and now you're looking at 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, well, really, because I used to, I mean, I'm going back a very long time, but I was in North Maui at the time, and I was going to Edmonton, and there was obviously, you've got a mediation that comes in now as well before it all.
Well, you do, I mean, the thing about divorce is it's, you talk about divorce, what people are trying to do is they're trying to see their options to live separate and apart from their partner. And it's looking, people are very frightened about moving on. And I think it's very important to take legal advice at an early stage so that you know what your options are. People keep on putting it off and off and off and off, and I suspect that's why with the New Year's resolution thing, people say, well, I am going to do it, I am going to go and see somebody.
It's taking that first step, isn't it?
It is, and I do think that people shouldn't put it off. I think you can go to solicitors, we offer a free consultation, at least then you know what your options are and what you're facing, rather than putting it off all the time. You're not necessarily committed when you go to a solicitor to start the ball rolling, but you're better off making an informed decision so you know what your options are, rather than just hanging on in there or being very much persuaded, I find, about what your partner says. Quite often you've got a dominant partner who will bully you into what they want.
Yeah.
And that's to be avoided. So your first thing you should always do, I think, is take legal advice. Once you have taken legal advice, then you know what your options are, and one of those options will be mediation. That's an option that we do encourage, because it's very difficult for couples when they're parting, because they're hurting.
Yeah.
And
angry as well.
Yeah, they're angry and they're hurting, and it's sometimes very difficult for them to see a clear route. And what a good mediator and a good solicitor to try and take the anger out of it, because the best way to get a happy, I think that's probably the wrong word, the best resolution to a breakup is to be as amicable as possible.
Yeah, the really happy thing is, I know what you're saying, it's you're happy at the end of it, and you may be happy at the end of it, or you may not be, but it's a process that you want to start that process off so you see an end point for yourself as well.
Yes, you need to try and take the sting out of it. I think it's particularly so when we have children disputes, people do often use it as a weapon.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Children to
as pawns, yeah.
Pawns, that is quite common. And, you know, and mediators and a good solicitor will try and stop that and take that out of the equation.
One in the news actually this morning, I was reading about that, so you don't know anything about the case obviously because it's a family court, but I think the judge opened it up purely because I think the mother went missing or something, so you know that it's going to be more than meets the eye, based on that story.
Well, I think that's the other thing that happens all the time, and I find it very strange. They always say to me, clients, my friend got so-and-so, and my friend said so-and-so. Every case is different.
Yeah, exactly.
No case is the same, and it always depends and what your circumstances are. But you'll always have a much better outcome to a break-up if you try and be as nice as possible and don't try and score points over your partner or try and punish them.
Yeah, and that's certainly one thing that I learned over the years. So you talk about choosing a good solicitor and a good solicitor listening and everything else. How would you go about choosing a solicitor, and is it very costly?
Well, when you talk about choosing a solicitor, I find certainly in family law, you do tend to go by recommendation.
Yeah.
I do find that people will choose someone who's been recommended to them. We are very fortunate at F. Barnes Solicitors is that we do get a lot of recommendation. Nearly all our work is through recommendation. Because I've been there over 25 years, I've acted on third and fourth divorces, cousins, uncles, aunts, children.
Oh,
so that has been a wonderful source of work for the firm. Also, we do a lot of advocacy, and we're slightly unusual to a lot of other practices in that we will represent you at court. Not all the time, because we can't always be at court for everybody, because there are clashes and things, but we will take you through the whole process. And I've built up a very good reputation as an advocate at court, and I've had many of the other sides subsequently recommend me to represent them, which I think is the highest form of flattery, is when that's happened, and that's quite common. I do think people do like to know that you are with them and supportive of them all the time.
Yeah, and listening.
So you're not only there just talking to them in the office on the telephone, you're there in court for them.
Yeah.
And they feel very supported then.
What would you do if you're listening and think the relationship has broken down and need a divorce?
I do think that there's no strings attached by going to see somebody, to a solicitor, come to F. Barnes and have a free consultation to just sort out your options. I think what I'm trying to convey is that they will be objective and give you clear-cut advice. Anybody else, as far as your husband or your wife really upsetting you and driving you nuts, you've got family and friends you can vent your frustration with, to actually look at what your real options are, how it's going to affect you. You need to go and see a lawyer. I can't stress that enough. I just really find it very unfortunate when I see people after the event and they've been bullied into a settlement or a deal, which is really done them no favours and put them in a very, very difficult position. It's much harder to sort out a mess once the mess has been created. If you're advised, if you take control at the outset, you'll get the best deal for your client. The client doesn't have to instruct you, but they will need their options. And if their husband or wife is saying, you're only entitled to this or you can only have that, you'll know if that's right or wrong.
Yeah, because they picked it up from friends and sometimes on social media, because friends naturally will always back you, but that's not always, they're not always telling you the right thing, are they? So the solicitor will
tell you,
tell you the right thing.
I mean, people have unrealistic expectations. I mean, I'm really surprised nowadays that people seem to think that if you live with someone, you've got rights. You've got no rights whatsoever.
No.
Cohabitee, they've been talking about bringing in laws to protect cohabitees, but that's never happened. And there's nothing in the offing, I have to say, for that to happen. So it's a completely different ball game if you're married and if you're not married. And people get very disappointed when I meet them and I tell them that they haven't got, basically no rights if you're not married.
There's too many people looking at blogs and everything else and making their own.
Well, there's always been this thing in this country about common law husband and common law wife, but in law it doesn't exist.
No, yeah, I was told that many, many years ago.
But people still think that there is rights, but there isn't.
So do you always need a solicitor?
I think you should always take legal advice. You don't have to continue using a solicitor, but I think those who do not take legal advice are very foolish, because they need to know what their entitlement is and which direction they should be going.
For sure. Yeah.
You don't always need a solicitor, but I think you should always go and see a solicitor. If you haven't got any children, if you've got minimal assets, or it's a short marriage, then you're not necessarily going to need a solicitor to deal with the matter on your behalf.
Yeah.
But a lot of cases, people are very reluctant to go and see a solicitor. And I don't know if cost has got something to do with it. They get very frightened. Their partner will often say to them, build it up, and try and dissuade them not to go to a solicitor, normally for their own advantage,
yeah,
because they don't want to be. They'll tell them what they're saying is not true. But you're not, as I said, touched before, if you go and take legal advice, at least you're then making an informed decision. You are not committed. The minute you come to see a solicitor doesn't mean that you have to start divorce proceedings.
No.
You're just going there for preliminary advice.
Yeah, and your free consultation is going to be good for that, isn't it?
We do that, and we've had that for a long, long time, because people don't then feel that they're committed down a route they may not necessarily want to go at this stage.
Yeah.
I do find that, I hate to say this, that most people do come back,
yeah.
And they do start the ball rolling. But I think it's often a false economy for people not to use solicitors, especially when there is a lot of issues, and the issues, and you've got children issues, and then you also have financial settlement, and financial settlement, what clients or people don't understand is when the courts are dealing with financial settlement, what you and I think they should take into account is not taken into account.
It's not the case, is it?
So to get advice on that, I think, is very important. People still seem to think that because your husband or wife behaves badly, that will entitle you to a larger share of the pot, but that's not the case.
No, it doesn't work like that.
And people get very upset to find, you know, if it's a wife who's been married 40 years and a husband's run off with a 21-year-old, to find that actually his conduct's not relevant.
Yeah, that's right.
And the starting point now on finances is a 50-50 split. But there are lots of other reasons why it won't necessarily be 50-50, and you do need a solicitor to advise you on that.
Yeah.
And the points that you are not going to get any sympathy on if you can't reach agreement.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that one. So we mentioned mediation earlier on, and I've heard about couples being referred to mediation. Can you tell us a bit about this and how it works?
Oddly enough, I was going to touch on the mediation point. Parties are encouraged to go to mediation, and you can make self-referral mediations, or solicitors will normally refer you to a mediator.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because it wasn't around when I was going through the courts in early 2001, 2002, mediation anyway. I certainly can't remember it being part of it, but is it part of the actual process you have?
It is. It's almost compulsory now. The courts aren't very sympathetic if you do not try mediation. I mean, whether it's children or finances, first and foremostly, I still think you should go and see a solicitor just to get your advice.
Sure.
So you know what your position is. Then you should try and agree it directly with your partner. If you can't agree it directly with your partner, then you need to explore mediation.
Yeah.
Even to have that mediation referred to, you do it yourself, or you go through a solicitor. What's now unfortunately happening, because I touched on this earlier, divorce proceedings are taking such a long time. If it really is a case where you're married, you do need to get the divorce proceedings underway at an early stage, because any agreement to be approved by the court, certainly on finances, you have to have a divorce gone quite a long way away. I mean, it's fair to say that quite a lot of parties can reach agreement directly between themselves. They can reach agreement through mediation, but it's very clear at an early stage what parties are going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And it's very clear then that those parties who are not, that you do need to start the divorce proceedings, and you need to get involved in court proceedings at an earlier stage. Otherwise, you'll find yourself in the same position in 3 years' time for not having resolved the matter. you know, our job is to bring the happiest resolution in the quickest time.
Yeah, well, that's what they want. And that's what they may be expecting. Like you say, they may be type of unrealistic ambitions, if you like. But I suspect that's what, they'd like. It's taken that process. It's taken that first step, isn't it?
It is that. But, you know, but nobody, I mean, divorce isn't easy on all counts. And one of the things what makes me quite cross is the government sometimes I find quite patronising when it says that divorce is too easy. And we should make it harder for people. It's a really, really big step for anyone to say that I'm going to get divorced or I'm looking to get a divorce. No, nobody wants that confrontation. No. Nobody wants to break up a home. And it's an enormous step. But the culture has changed over the years. And that I think people, expectations are higher. When it used to be, I'm getting on now, you know, you sort of... When you're over 40, over 50, it was considered over the hill. Most people who I deal with are over 40 and 50, and they just said they want something new in their life, and the prospect of going into retirement with their existing partner is not one they look at.
I must admit, I'm seeing quite a lot of that, actually, of people. I've even got a couple of friends, actually, that are my age. I'm 51, and they've just split up. So, yeah, that obviously is happening.
It's happening more and more, I think, people are looking to their retirements. And what do we call it? The silver pound now. We've got a lot of people who are over 50 who are quite wealthy. And
I'm not one of them.
No, nor am I. And they're not happy in their relationships. And I'd like to dispel a myth, and I've been doing this for an awful long time, is that people don't get divorced very easily. It really is. I see many more people that I think should have divorced years ago than I do people who shouldn't get divorced. I've acted over 25 years. I think only one or two couples who regretted the decision. It's more people who should have done it, and clients I'm seeing who I saw 10 years ago and I see 5 years ago, and then it takes them 10 years to finally make that decision.
Which brings up an important point. Do you think people are staying together, for children and or obviously with housing the way it is now, do you think that's maybe an issue?
I think it's always been an issue. I think it's confrontation. I don't, and the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
I think that's the main factor. I think it's always been that factor. I think some people say children. I'm not sure that's valid, because I've never felt that it was good for children to stay in an unhappy atmosphere.
I would agree with that.
And that seems to be accepted now, whereas it wasn't accepted years ago. Now it seems to be accepted that children are better off in an unhappy atmosphere. But I still do feel that clients do use it as an excuse, because they're putting off the confrontation.
Yeah.
You are dividing on breaking up a home, and you're then having to try and run two households from that home.
Yeah. So I'm literally going by memory, and also obviously thinking of solicitors' letters that come through. Once either party gets that first solicitor's letters, does it create more fights between the couples?
Well, some couples will fight regardless. Solicitors now, if they're sensible or good solicitors, you don't write aggressive letters to the husband or partner. That there's no point, because I always say to my clients, you know, you can have your own fight in the back garden or in the front garden.
Or shock to them, mightn't it? So
you don't need. I don't think it's right to have a solicitor who writes aggressive letters to your partner. It's not going to help to have a nice resolution. It really isn't. I mean, you do have. You know, people say that. Solicitors can be aggressive. Yes, some solicitors can, but you can get good solicitors and bad solicitors. I think, unfortunately, what we're increasingly seeing, and I discussed it with my matrimonial colleague today, is that you have solicitors who are unfortunately trying to be litigious.
Yeah.
They are. By litigious, they're trying to make something out of nothing. It's a bit like those I call claim farmers on personal injury. And that is unfortunately creeping into family law now, which is not good. But you shouldn't be aggressive. You can be aggressive to the other lawyer, but you can't be aggressive to partner if they're acting in person. That's what I've definitely found over the last few years. Many more people are acting in person. That's because legal aid's no longer available.
I did it mine in the end, but and it's funny you should say that, because that'll bring me to my next question about a barrister in a minute. But I had a very aggressive barrister. I ended up purely based on money, but a very aggressive barrister who was trying outside of the court, which she was only doing a job to be fair, but trying to push me to get to sign something, and I don't know, I was having none of it. So I ended up, because I knew what I had in terms of the evidence that I had. So
I think you've done well there, because I have seen it with aggressive barristers trying to get, and I don't think only barristers, sometimes solicitors really take advantage of people acting in person. I think that's very dangerous, and I think it brings the whole profession into disrepute, really. I don't think it's unfair.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't suggest doing it to anybody, and I would absolutely suggest people see a solicitor and not do it themselves.
Well, I keep on. You just need to get that initial advice. There are some court appearances you do not need solicitors for.
Yeah.
You're quite happy. Sometimes, I mean, dare I say it, you're better off representing yourself. There are some sort of court proceedings. You get more sympathy if you're acting in person. That is happening less and less now, because unfortunately, the judges in the courts are getting fed up with everybody being in person. They're fed up with it. Whereas they used to bend over backwards for people in person because they were the exception. Now they are the rule, and they are addressing the judges on points which are not relevant.
Yeah.
So at least, again, going back to, at least if you go and see a solicitor, get some advice, and that solicitor can tell you what points are relevant to the judge, what points they're going to win your case. And they're getting shorter and shorter and more cross with people in person. Yeah, so that has changed.
So we talked about barristers and solicitors. What's the difference between the two?
Well, barrister is somebody traditionally who only appears in court and only gives written advice, and solicitors are people who traditionally didn't appear in court and did all the letter writing and advised, but they're really merging or blurring the lines, because now barristers offer what they call direct access, so you can go to the barrister direct. But solicitors increasingly do their own court appearances, and I've been doing court appearances when I first started at F. Barnes. I was thrown in the deep end and thrown over to court at a very, very young age, and had many, 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 many pleasant and not so pleasant experiences when I first started, by trial and error. But I think it gives you an advantage when you do the court hearings, because the buck stops there. You know exactly what the judge wants to hear. You can't hide behind anything. Whereas barristers, and we do use them, and there are a lot of very good barristers, and I don't wish to discredit them all, but one of the reasons I do my own advocacy is I'd experienced a very poor barristers in the past, and they're always blame the solicitor, which is a cheap get out, quite frankly. You get a good advocate is very important at a hearing. You do have quite a lot of hearings whether you're doing children's proceedings or financial settlement proceedings. But the whole culture has changed, because the courts are very keen in all these appearances or going to court. It's all geared towards trying to get a settlement, and they'll make you mediate outside court and try and negotiate and try and resolve it. So it's very much centred towards that. People think
that's good to hear, because years ago it was very much, I was constantly direction hearing after direction hearing all the time.
It has changed, and that's something to the best. When I talk to clients about issuing proceedings, they think, oh, I've got to go to a full trial. Well, no, it's not really like that. It means that you get to court as soon as you can, and you get the opportunity then at the first hearing to try and resolve it, rather than spend 12 months trying to argue and letters going to and fro and being no further forward, which is extremely important when you come to children's proceedings, because the longer you don't have contact to your children, the harder it is to reinstate that relationship, both legally and emotionally.
And I've been there, and it's not very nice.
So, people say, oh, look, court proceedings, there's got to cost me a fortune, that's not the right direction to go. Quite often it's the best direction to go, just simply to get everybody together and to get it sorted.
Yeah, for sure. So, what, in your opinion, what's the most important thing to consider when going through a relationship breakdown?
Well, dare I say it, yourself?
Yeah. That's what I was going to suggest.
Yeah, I do, because I have clients come to me all the time, and they look at their children. I say, but your children's going to be happy when you're happy.
Yeah.
And they also say, well, my husband or my wife wouldn't like that. And it's not a question of what they like. Is you've got to put yourself first, and you've got to look at what you want to do for your future. You don't just come and, you don't decide you want a divorce because you don't like your husband any longer, or you don't like your wife or your partner any longer. You say, I want something different for my future. I would rather not be living with this person. And you've got to get ideas and start really thinking what you want for your future.
Yeah, you've got to see yourself as a separate entity, haven't you?
Yes, you've got to see yourself separate. And what do I want? Where do I want to be living? What type of job do I want to be doing? Do I want to live near a support network, or do I want to live here? What friends do I wish to be near to? So sometimes people do come and they haven't really thought it through, because all they know is that I don't want to be with him or her.
Yeah. So we've talked at length about everything now. Do you want to anything else you'd like to add? Obviously, you've got a free
call. Well, yeah, I just would urge people, just to come and see a solicitor. Obviously, I'm going to say come to us. If Barnes, we offer free consultation, so they can discuss the options, what are available to them. There's no commitment, and at least it's. They're informed, and you listen to all these things. I mean, try and look on the internet. It's like I look for sometimes, if I've got an ailment, and I find out, or I discover the way I look into it, that I've suddenly got a terminal illness. It's so confusing on the internet. Different people give you all contradictory advice. Just get it from the horse's mouth, and then you can decide going forward what you want to do.
No, I would certainly agree with that. Well, many thanks, Tina. It's been fantastic to talk to you. I'm just going to get Joe from F. Barnes Solicitors as well to just jump in as well. Let me just turn Tina's mic over and put Joe on, who's just going to tell you about mentioning the recruitment opportunities at F. Barnes.
Yes, hi Stuart, thank you. Yes, obviously we are looking, I would like to highlight, we are looking for several positions at the moment. I would direct you to our careers page on www.fbarnes.co.uk. It's all there. What we're really looking to do is take on, we've got a position for a trainee solicitor.
Okay.
They're quite difficult to come by a training contract. We're really keen to get somebody started. Ideally, it would suit somebody that's perhaps had a bit of paralegal experience and would like to come over to maybe a larger practice somewhere that can give them on-the-spot training. They'll get involved from the very offset, which some practices don't necessarily let you dive in. So there's an opportunity there for somebody.
Yeah.
We're looking for somebody that's into commercial property law. Really anybody that's got an ambition, enthusiasm, wants to come and join a friendly team, I'd love to hear from you. As I say, all CVs to myself, Joe Andrews, and check out our careers page.
Excellent. Well, many thanks for that, Joanne. And just one more thing, Tina, before we go, have we got a song that we can play for you?
Well, I was going to say my favourite song is Have I Told You Lately.
Well, we've got a version by Van Morrison. Would that
be? Yes, Van the Man, yes.
So, yeah, this is Van the Man Morrison and Have I Told You Lately. Many thanks to Tina and to Joanne from F. Barnes Solicitor, and get in touch with them for all your family law advice.
Thank you.
Have I told you?